FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. The date is February 2nd, 2016, and it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for January of 2016. And interesting chart formations happening, interesting patterns. We have two down months in a row for the Dow and the S&P. Where is that going to head? Will there be a third? Well, let's find out from Mickey. And Mickey, hey, always good to talk to you.
Happy Groundhog's Day. Yeah. We will try to prognosticate the markets just as they do in Pennsylvania with the weather. The question is a great one. We've been down 2 months in a row in the big boards, across the big boards in the U.S. Will it go into a third? And that's a $64,000 question. You know, there's been a lot of blood in the streets and panic and angst going on in the markets. But let's put this in perspective. We are still barely into a market correction. Even considering the lows of January 20th, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are all down 15 to 18% from their all-time highs. But it was not a good month. That said, Dow and S&P down 5%, NASDAQ down 8%, Russell 2000, the small caps down 9%. Interestingly enough, that market index is down 26% from its high.
Really?
And I attribute that solely to the Obama administration trying to execute the small caps by drowning them in regulations, not the least of which is Obamacare. Meanwhile, the Toronto Venture Exchange only dropped 1.5% over the month. That was quite surprising to me, especially with a drop in oil when it is so largely commodity-based, and export revenues in Canada comprise about 50% of the money that they take in. The Toronto Venture Exchange hit an all-time low again, dipped to 466 on the 20th before rallying, closed the month at an even 500, but that was still down 5% from December. Meanwhile, the second and third worlds are a mess. Our emerging market index down another almost 7% over the month, now off to 742 compared to its 52-week high set on April 27th. It is down a whopping 36% since that time. In the midst of collapsing currencies, stagnating growth, export revenues dropping as commodities drop because many of these countries are very resource heavy. The emerging market countries, aka the third world, are not doing well. And finally, our measure of volatility over the month, the VIX, was up to 20.2, which is approaching the highs we've seen over the last 4 years. So it was a relatively volatile month.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And yeah, to see the Toronto Venture put in a low like that, man, you had to think it was the end of the world if you were a company listed on there, boy. It just,
well, it is. It could be the end of the world. I am unclear if this been arguably the world's best venture capital market is going to survive. The big banks want them out of business with the model of wealth management. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, well, you know, since we've been doing our chats here for the past almost 4 years, when we started out talking, way back in 2012, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
January 31st, 2012, the venture was at 1632. Now it's at 500. All right. Granted, it's 4 years later, almost to the day, but it's lost more than two-thirds, lost 70% of its value.
Well, and not only that, Kerry, but its starting point for its post-global economic crisis high would be on March the 4th of 2011, a good 9 months before we started this program. And it hit 2440, if memory serves, on March the 4th. So that is an even bigger drop. So anyway, let's go on to something different. We can't moan and bemoan that. It is what it is.
Just an observation.
Absolutely.
So we go to our currencies now. And, you know, not a real big month there, but a little bit of movement.
Yeah, well, the dollar index, once again, was strong up to finish the month at 99.53, up 1%, continues very strong. The euro has stabilized over the last couple of months, finished at $1.08. So obviously, it's other currencies going down in that index. Certainly, the Canadian dollar is contributing a big part of that. I think it finished the month about 70 cents. T-bills or T-bonds, 10-year T-bonds, lower as, I think, as more governments embrace negative interest rates. You know, Japanese are now charging you to keep your money in the bank, which, you know, I wrote a piece a couple of years ago, if you keep your money with the banksters, they are LOL. And we've seen that as more and more governments in the world try to push us into a cashless economy. And then finally, we go to Bitcoin, finished the month at 378, right back where it started a couple of months ago. It gave up all of the last month's gains, down 12% over the month.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, Bitcoin, it's synonymous with the volatility. For sure.
Yep.
I mean, it was up 38.1%, then 15.5%, next month 14.1%, and then last month it gives back 12.1%. And yeah, well, if there was a way to play it, boy, we could all do well on that. So metals, near and dear to my heart, and they started out the new year doing somewhat okay.
Yeah, well, we had a nice January rally. I might add, as I predicted, I wrote a piece on January 4th called The 20-Year Record for Gold and showed unequivocally that gold was going to go up in January. And lo and behold, it was up over 5%. Silver lagged behind, only up 2.6%. And that leads us right into our gold-silver ratio at an all-time high since October and November of 2008. 78.5, that is fairly extraordinary, would be a relatively strong buy for silver. Meanwhile, the strongest buy of all is platinum, down another 2.5% over the month. Palladium down 11% over the month, closed it at 500. You know, the real question is, why are these platinum group metals still getting flushed? And I don't have a strong answer for that or even a clue as to why they're still getting flushed down the toilet. But certainly the platinum to gold ratio finished the month at 0.78, and it actually is down even to 0.77 yesterday. And I went back and we track on a monthly average platinum, gold, palladium prices since Nixon floated the dollar against gold in 1971. I found 1 month in, what is that, 45 years, almost 45 years now, where that ratio was less, and that was in November of 1982 at 0.75. A very strong buy signal for platinum. I can't tell you it's not going to test the 800 level. It got down to somewhere in the 820s, 830s over the month. But that ratio is so out of whack that if you are buying precious metals, it is very compelling to buy platinum bars over gold bars. Meanwhile, our industrial metal tracker copper hit as low as $1.96 in the latter part of the month before a strong bounce up to 206, but it's still down 3% over the month. Yeah, copper demand growth up 2.5% for 2015, and projections I've seen by the usual copper analysts, and be aware that they bake in a 4% supply disruption into the market, which is generally exceeded, but I've seen anywhere from a deficit of a few days to the most I saw was a surplus of about 5 or 6 days uses. And despite that, copper prices remain below the marginal cost of an operation for a significant number of operations worldwide. So I don't know how long copper can stay this low, but it is what it is. The speculators and the negatives and the shorts control the copper market right now. So it will be some time before that rallies.
Yeah, but it will at some point. And then we go to our energy sector. And to be an oil trader right now, last month, the past 3 months, not a lot of fun.
Well, unless you were short the oil market, I may quibble with that idea. It may have been a lot of fun, and there was probably a lot of money made and lost in the oil markets over the month. We embrace volatility. What volatility gives traders and speculators opportunities to get in and out of the market. So, We hope that oil bottomed on the 20th of January at 26.50 more or less WTI. It was down another 8% over the month, finished the month at 33.62. Meanwhile, there is a small arbitrage reestablished with Brent of about 3%. Closed the month at 34.74. Henry Hub closed the month at $2.30, up 4%. That was strictly due to a cold weather bump in the Northeast in mid to late January. There's interesting things going on in the oil market. It's become a matter of who will blink first. I read an interesting article this morning that says that one of the reasons that the stock market is going down along with oil, which is not the usual paradigm, is because there are so many sovereign wealth funds, oil exporters, that went all in the stock market during the good times, trying to make money on their excess revenues. And now that play is coming home to roost. There are major redemptions going on by sovereign wealth funds all over the world. The Saudis, for instance, they get netbacks at about $10 a barrel. Some people even say $5 a barrel in the cost of production, but their balance of payments and their government obligations make their break-even point. I saw today at $96. A barrel to cover all their debt and government payments and subsidies of their people, et cetera, to keep them from rioting. And Qatar's much the same, UAE. So that has not only upset the oil markets, but upset the stock markets too, according to this one analyst.
Well, that would make sense that the money's being pulled out to handle other obligations.
Absolutely.
Liquidating their portfolios. So,
yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I could see it. So now we get on to uranium. Not much going on there.
No, it drifted down. It's drifted down. We thought we had established a $36 base, close the month at $34.50. That market is still in the doldrums. We have compelling reasons why we think it cannot last into the midterm, but when it's going to turn, I have no idea.
Yeah, at some point, it's inevitable. I mean, they're building more power plants, more nukes.
Yep.
means yep. more uranium. At least that's what the way it used to work.
So. Yeah, well, it will continue to work that way. Japanese started their third reactor, so that this week. So.
That's pretty major.
We will continue to see that occur.
Yeah, Fukushima is kind of what started it all, the downfall. So, well, interesting times in which we live, Mickey, and are you just waiting to see what's going to happen next and which markets are really going to react and really start moving. So you think we put in a low in oil? We talked about that in our special oil report, which is up there on FSN now. Suggest you take a listen. I wonder if the metals have put in the low.
Well, I would certainly suggest that copper put in a low at $1.96, although you know never quite know when these lows can be tested again. But, you know, copper and oil, those look like they bottomed. They spiked to the bottom and bounced right off. So let's hope that that's the case. You know, the marginal cost of production of both those commodities is higher worldwide than the commodities are being produced right now. So
that's for sure.
That's a good sign that something has to turn, at least in the midterm.
Hey, the gold to WTI ratio really is ballooning. It's at 33.3 now.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything like, well, 28.8 in the beginning of last year. Interestingly enough, the peak was January 30th of 2015. But before that, it's just not been anywhere near that. So anyway, interesting the tale that the numbers tell. I mean, I've always believed that you can't just look at numbers as digits. You have to look at them as telling a story. These numbers really tell a story about the relative values of commodities, gold against oil, platinum to palladium, you know, gold to silver. All of them tell a story, and it's a story that we haven't seen anything like in the past. So where it's heading will be interesting to see, and we will be back next month, right at the beginning of March, to do the post-mortem on the markets for February. Hopefully a little bit better behavior on precious metals, but at some point, every dog has its day. We will talk to you next month, Mickey. Be well.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.